Hearst interview with Ms. Ludy Whaley on August the 16th, 1988, in Mason County, Kentucky. The interviewer is Lynn David.
Oh!
What'd you call my first name?
Ludy, that's not your real name, is it? Or is
it? No, it is, Ludy, that's right. I thought you said me.
Oh, no. I always assumed maybe that was a nickname, but that's
your given name. That's my name.
Did you have a middle name?
Ludy Lee.
Ludy Lee. That's musical.
My mother named me for, I asked her one time how she happened to hit up on that name. And she said, it was such a, when she was a young girl, and they used to have dances at Lewisburg. She lived at Lewisburg. And said there was one of the girls that came down from Flemingsburg had such beautiful clothes, and her mother made her clothes. And so that's why she named me for it.
Well, it's a pretty name. It really is. When were you born?
They called it.
When were you born?
When was I born?
Uh-huh.
In 89.
Eight.
If I live to September the 3rd, I'll be 99. And they've been 99 good years, I have to say. I've had such wonderful health.
You have, haven't you?
Yes,
you've
had
a, and you're such a beautiful, nobody would ever know you were that old. I would have put you.
Some man called me here one day when I was 94, and he came up, he said, we were out in the big reception room. He said, they tell me this is your birthday. I said, yes, it is. He said, do you mind telling me how old you are? I said, no, not a bit. I'm 94. He said, lady, you're pulling my leg.
I can see why he'd say that. I really can. Okay.
Well, as I say, I've been so blessed with good health. I certainly feel wonderfully blessed.
Well, you're a lovely lady.
Pardon?
I said, you're a lovely person inside.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Well, thank you.
And I think that's reflected on the out. Where were you born?
Where?
Uh-huh.
I was born at Lewisburg, right close to the railroad, up at Marshall Station, when we used to have, when the old L&N used to run down, run across. I've heard my mother say that just as the train was going down,
that you came into the world.
Yeah, that's right. And I said it didn't look a great trip for the world, but that train ran at that time.
What were your parents' names?
Anna Lewis Gaither and Basil Calvert Berry. My mother was was born at Maze Lake.
Oh, she was?
Uh-huh. And, you know, Maze Lake burned twice. She didn't know it. It was before her time. It was before four, of course, that they had any fire control. But she said that her mother told her that the little village burned twice. And she said that the second time it was in the night, and when she awakened and saw this light just permeating everything, that her first thought was, world's come to an end. That
oh,
was
right.
My grandmother.
Your grandmother. How much of it burnt, did your grandmother say?
Beg pardon?
How much of Maze Lake burnt, or did she ever say? Did the whole village burn, or just part of it?
I don't know how much it did burn.
Yeah.
I wondered, too, how much it burned. But of course, it was a long time ago.
Did you know your grandmother?
No, she died. But my mother was, when her children were rather small, there were three girls and a boy, I think. So two of them boarded with the one aunt, and two boarded with the other aunt. They were left well-to-do, well to take care of themselves. In fact, my grandfather, they said, they were big, and he got the word that there was a fortune waiting for him in England and a title, but he had to appear in person to receive it. And he said, well, he just wasn't going to cross the road. I guess it was a very different crossing at then to now. And his lawyer told him, he said, well, I think you should go. And he said, and I'll go with you. So I think they got to the border. And he decided again. He said, I'll stay on this side of the border and keep what I have. It's not good. Didn't go.
Did anybody ever check it out to see if...
So far as I know, not. Because they said he, in order to receive it, he had to appear in person. Mother used to tell me that story.
For heaven's sake. So you could be a titled lady.
Well, we'll pay for it. Not likely.
Did your mother tell you any other stories about your grandparents?
Well, that's the one that has stayed with me. If you've been there in particular.
What did your grandfather do in Maize Lick? You say that he left, the children were well off.
Yeah. I don't think I heard, I don't know. I think they said he was a financier, but whatever that meant, I don't know.
Yeah. What kind of woman was your mother? Can you describe your mother to me?
Describe my mother to me. Well, she was a very ambitious lady, I think. And,
how?
Of course, she'd always lived in a little village, but she inherited some land from her father, and they went to the country and built a house, and they lived in the country then. We went to Maize Lick to school. I rode a horse or a pony up in the where the filling station is now. There was a livery barn, they called them then, livery stable. And I can't remember who operated it. And that's where I kept my horse and pony, horse or pony, whichever I happened to ride up, and walked home down to the two-room schoolhouse. And,
where was the schoolhouse?
It is north on 68, old 68. And I believe they said it's been converted into a machine shop or something like that. Just two rooms. Miss Mame Yancey taught the primary room, and Mr. Chandler, the name of Chandler from Carlisle, taught the upper grades. Well, you thought what Mr. Chandler and what Miss Mame didn't know couldn't be known. As far as we were concerned.
Did you remember a place called the Stonewall House?
The Stonewall
House, in Maize Lick. Did you ever hear about it?
No, I don't. Unless it was what was the hotel.
Yeah.
As I remember. And that, wasn't it a red brick building?
I don't know. I can't find out anything about it.
I remember it as a red brick building, but of course, as I say, that may be right, it may be wrong.
Do you remember where it sat?
Yeah, I know about where it sat. You know where the, let's see. Well, I could show you, but I can't tell you where it is. Let's see. There's a man that has some sort of a shop in that area.
Mr. Woods's shop, or?
Well, it's a little bit north of Mr. Woods' shop. It's down, that's in that general area, but it's a little bit north of that.
Well, see, there's Mr. Woods, and then going north, there's the pool hall, the pool room.
Well, that's in that general area.
Right in there is where the Stonewall House
and
is.
And to me, it looked like a very big building, a big brick hotel, that's what they called it. But whether it was just looked big to me, I don't know. And then there was one across from it, and it was a timber. And I think I think of it as a hotel, too. But it was a little village of ballrooms, I'll tell you. I remember at least four in that little village, and they were patronized.
Where were they?
Well, let's see. Two of them were in the buildings, you know, where the up on the street, where the steps probably go right down onto the street, south of that.
Painters? By painters?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the names of business people there now.
Remember when Painters had the hardware store in Maeslick? Was that one of the bars?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah.
That's right on the corner, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, this was just above that. It was south of that.
Okay.
These two were south of that. And I remember the name of one of the men was Archdeacon, and he had two of the nicest children. I remember them so well at school. And those children, I know, were never allowed anyways near that ballroom. Mr. Archdeacon.
Do you remember where the others were?
Well, one of them was right close by. And then the one, I guess, was in the hotel. They usually had, I think, drinking area. And as I say, there was a big frame building. But I think of it as an old hotel, but I don't know whether that's right or not, or whether I'm just confused with it.
Was it sitting on the main street?
It was across from the bridge, Red Brick. I remember Mr. Young, I think, operated, owned the Red Brick that I knew about it.
Did you ever go into the Stonewall House?
I'm looking for a cool place. Boy, it's hot out there today.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
It's hot in here.
Don't think I have.
Do you remember any other businesses that were?
Well, Mr. Tom Hopper had the store on the corner, same place that there's one now.
Where Ike Mason had his store?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yeah.
Mr. Mason has it. And the back part of that, there was a dwelling, and his mother lived in the dwelling, and it was two-storied. The dwelling was two-storied, and I remember her maid's name was Kate. I know Kate well as I know anybody, and I know when Miss Hopper died, Cousin Mary, that was
hi, Miss Keith.
Hello.
How are you?
Is that you?
Yeah.
Well, how are you doing? Glad to see you.
Nice to see you.
Maid that lived behind there?
Yeah, Kate was the maid that lived down. Now that was the on the corner, you know, where the store is now.
Uh-huh.
And I know when when Miss Hopper died, Cousin Mary, she was married Tom Hopper, and their home was down where the Palmer place is now. And so she thought Kate would want to come live with her, whether or not. But Kate just about ruled whatever Kate said there went. And so Kate mighty soon told her she didn't intend to live with her. She said she was going to live with Alma, who lived on a farm. She married Joe Hildreth. And they had their farm was just the fence connecting the road between their farm and ours. And Kate came over to Alma's to live. And I knew I had a girl working for me at the time. And Alma and I used to make lots of candy, and we'd get together and make it, and both were our help. And it was amazing how those two maids would see to it that I got my part and she got hers. We didn't have to worry about it.
What was Kate's last name?
I haven't the least idea. I reckon Kate had a last name, but I haven't the least idea.
They kept it straight on the candy. What kind of candy did you all make?
We made cream candy and chocolate dip and fudge and most anything kind that came out. Well, we'd give it a try. We used to make lots of it. Enjoyed making it and enjoyed having it to give to friends.
Oh, yeah. Kentucky cream candy is delicious.
Pardon?
I said that cream candy is fantastic.
Yes, it is. And I thought it would make delicious candy drops, too. Dip chance is just as much as a fondant, really. We use both for dipping.
What did you use for dipping?
Well, made a fondant.
Uh-huh.
That was the usual thing. And we've used some of that, too. But I think if you didn't happen to have some fondant, maybe didn't want to bother, why, you could use cream candy dipped.
Ooh, I'd like to taste that.
Yeah, it was delicious. It really was.
You've told me something about your mother. What about your father? Can you tell me something?
He was, my father was, he was lived in Lewisburg.
Uh-huh.
And when my mother's mother died, why, she had a sister that lived over there, and two of the children went to board with her. And two of them went to board with another sister. And they were really, after that stage, they left Maeslick and lived at Lewisburg.
So your mother went to Lewisburg then?
Yeah.
What was the aunt's name that she lived with, you know?
Gaither. Mrs. Sue Gaither.
Sue Gaither. So that's where she met your dad then?
Yeah, that's right.
She ever talked to you about what it was?
About what?
About meeting your dad and what, and how they got together?
Oh, she probably did. I don't remember especially. But he was no trouble because he lived in Lewisburg, too.
What's your father? What kind of a man was your father?
He was a contractor. Mother had a... That's how we happened to live near Maeslick. Mother had a piece of land that she inherited from when the estate, when her father's estate was divided. And so my father built, as I say, he was a contractor, he built a house on it. He built all the outbuildings, and I often think how in the world he ever got the time to build all those things raise a family too, I didn't know.
How many children were in your family then?
Four. Two boys. I said it was the irony of fate. Two boys. I had two brothers and one sister. And my sister had, I said that was the irony of fate, because she had two curly haired boys and I had two straight haired girls.
What were your brother's names?
Edward Franklin, we called him Ned, and Enoch Arthur, and they called him Pete.
How do you get Pete out of Enoch Arthur?
Search me.
And your sister's name is Frances, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. What was it like? Well, wait a minute before I say that.
Pardon?
Were the boys older than you girls, or?
No, I was the oldest one, Frances the youngest.
And the boys were in between then.
That's right.
What was it like for the four of you growing up there?
Oh, it was great. We lived on the farm and we had our own horses. And each fella had his horse. And we all had our own bridles and our own saddles. We used to have a cousin from Mays, from Mulberry. Her father was one of the teachers in Maysville. And Mom would come out and she'd say, I want Lute's horse, old Fan, and Ned's saddle, that's my brother, and Uncle Basil's bridle. And Mom would have to have what she bid for. And I remember my mother said to my father one time, she says, if Maud was his niece, and she said, I think Maud has such a nice disposition. She Carmen, my father said, I can remember what my father said. He said, well, I think she's the meanest little devil I ever saw, so she wants the best of everything.
Did you enjoy it when Maud would come out?
Oh, yes, we enjoyed it. Mm. And I was thinking of the day when I saw the horseback rider that kids certainly miss a lot that aren't raised on the farm.
Yeah.
And as I say, we had our own horse. And it would never occur to us to take a horse to the stiles or feds to mount it. My two brothers, they taught me our riding horses. They go out in the pasture and catch them. They catch hold of their nose until they could get their ear and then put it down to the ground. And they'd hold it, the head, they'd hold their head down there till we hop on the horse and hop, put it back on the back. My two brothers did that, you know. If you are lucky enough to be raised with boys, you learn a lot that you wouldn't learn.
I expect you're right on that. Yeah. Did you all get into a lot of mischief when you were growing up? Or?
Well, I'm sure we did.
You just don't remember that, huh? Was your father's parents alive when you were growing up?
His parents. I knew my grandmother when I was just quite small, and the thing I remember about her was being over there to stay all night, and we didn't go to bed, and my brother and I were there, and we didn't go to bed, and we didn't go to bed. Grandmother could tell we were so sleepy, and she said, why don't you children go to bed? And one of us said, we haven't had our chapter yet. Said, Dad always reads our chapter before we go to bed. So Grandmother, that pleased her. And she told one of the girls, she said, get the Bible and read the children a chapter so they can go to bed.
So your dad always read the Bible every night to you?
Yeah, I could remember as kids that he did. Now, I don't know how we got out of the habit of doing it, but we did get out of the habit. But as little fellows, he always did.
Yeah. Did your parents spend a lot of time with you?
Well, in a way, yes. I think they did. A bit of time with us.
How would you, in the evening, after the chores and everything were done, what would you do in the evenings?
Well, it was usually not too long, because people were tired and they didn't stay up very late as a rule.
Did you all have help on the farm?
Have what?
Did your parents have help on the farm?
Well, okay, sometimes, yes, I guess they did, but not regularly.
Did your mother have household help?
No, not much of the time she did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You grew up about the time of the Knight Riders. Do you remember them at all?
Yes, I remember them talking about them. Yeah. I don't remember much of the activity, but I remember them talking about them.
Do you remember what they said about them, or?
No, I don't think I do. I don't think it was a very desirable group, as well as I remember.
So probably your father was against what they were doing?
I sort of imagined so. Now my father, he didn't raise crops himself.
No.
He put the land out to raise all the shares, because as I say, he was a contractor.
Where all did he build?
What all did he build? Well, he built houses, and he built some of the houses there in Mays Lick.
Could you tell me something? Do you remember which one?
No, it was south of the town, and it was built, I think, for Mr. Cray Cray. I don't know who owns it now.
So your father had men who worked for him then in the building trade?
Yes, yeah. That's right. But they didn't board with us, I believe. Mm. And I remember, too, that
at that time. Now, this is a contractor. He was fed at noon. So he was rebuilding, he was overseeing the building.
Yeah.
Wouldn't put that down.
No, go get your own meal someplace.
Oh, that's right.
Did your parents ever talk to you a lot about, or tell you stories about growing up, or?
I don't remember especially.
Were they alive during the Civil War, or were they?
Oh, no, I don't.
Did they ever tell you anything?
That is, I don't think they were. Yeah. It, I know our house that we, Ross Lands, where we lived after I married, in Fleming County, it was being built when the Civil War broke out. Because I know I heard them say that there was, it was never finished as they had planned to finish it, that they had to cut it short when the war broke out. But now that was where I lived after a marriage. And we loved it. We just loved Ross Lands. My children loved it, and still, even though somebody else owns it now, when the grandchildren come in, they always want to go to Rosslands.
Where is that?
It's in Fleming County. It's just about a mile from Johnson Junction. You know where Johnson Junction
is?
Yeah. On the Ellen End.
Right on the railroad.
And that's one thing I've been so glad to see, that they are restoring these old railroad stations, these little ones. They have become so much a part of the community that almost seem traditional for them to be there. And it just seems so nice that they are, and I think they're doing some little restoration touches to the big one down in Maysville too.
Yeah, they seem to keep it up really nice.
And it should be, because as I say, they've been there so long, it just seems almost traditional. And yet you hate to see those things just literally fall.
Yeah. Did you use the station at Johnson Station?
Oh, yes.
Remember who the station agent was?
When we took our wedding trip, we went to Louisville from, went to Lexington. When we came home from it, we drove, then automobiles were just becoming in.
Mm-hmm.
And had someone take us to Lexington, and then we took the train south from there.
See, you went to school in Maysville.
Pardon?
You went to school in Maysville.
Yes.
And then how far did you go in school at Maysville?
Well, I went through the grades. There were just the two rooms, the lower grades and the upper grades.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to college, my father moved to Oklahoma and moved to Edmond, Oklahoma, because it was a college town.
Oh, I never knew you had lived in Oklahoma.
Yeah, we only lived there about a year and a half. Got homesick.
Did you?
It was the New West then. And my father had been, what he planned to do was to go into business. And he was practically bought a business, which would have broken him completely financially if it just had gone through as intended.
What kind of business was it?
Well, it was a retail, commercial business. And the shelves were just full of boxes, as if it were well stocked, you know. And my father asked about it. The boys said, and the band that he bought it from, he, my father had every confidence in. And he said, those bullet boxes were all well stocked, well staffed. And if he'd have bought it, he would have just broken because they were as empty as could be. And that was the thing that decided to come back to Kentucky.
How did he find out they were empty?
He just happened to go over the box and lift them. Just happened to go by. Not that he doubted the word at all, but he just saw the force of habit of it.
What year was that?
Pardon?
About what year was that you moved to Oklahoma?
The least idea.
Was that during the oil boom times down in Oklahoma?
During the war.
When the oil started coming in?
Oh, the oil, you mean it? Yes, they weren't getting that was at the. And now they tell me that Oklahoma City, that Edmond is a part of Oklahoma City.
What was it like when you were living there?
Well, when we were there, Edmond was about 14 miles south of Oklahoma City. My father had three sisters living in Oklahoma. And I guess that was it. And he used to go out there hunting. It was a great hunting ground there.
What did he hunt?
Pardon?
What did he hunt?
Birds. Quail and type of birds, the hunting birds. Mm.
So you went to college there. What was the name of the college?
It was Edmond State. Yeah. I don't know if they still have a college there or not. Mm-hmm. But that's the main reason we went there, was because he had the four children coming on, as he thought, for college. And then, but after he found that he could not depend on what people said, because here, you were just accustomed to, a person that told you something, you just felt accepted it, just accepted the word. And there, the people that he even had a great deal of confidence in, just he couldn't believe a word to say it.
Yeah. Well, I can see that would be discouraging.
Pardon?
That'd be awfully discouraging, wouldn't
it? Yes, it was. As he said, if he'd have gone on and bought that business building, a commercial business that he had planned to, why, he just gone broke because there wasn't anything in it at all in those big boxes that just loaded the shelves.
So you all came back to Kentucky. Did you continue your education then when you came back?
Yeah, I think I went to teaching then after I finished. After I did that. I taught at Chilliwack.
You were a teacher a lot of years, weren't you?
Pardon?
Were you a teacher for a lot of years?
No, not a lot. Not a great many.
Where did you teach?
Well, I taught at Orangeburg. Because I've always said that year was my fun year.
Why?
We and Horn was at med school, and several boys and girls were away to college. And when they'd come home for a special weekend, boy, they could get up a party and two shakes of the damn cat's tail. We just had a talk. We said, well, the year I called it Orangeburg was the fun year of my life.
What'd you all do when you'd get up a party?
One thing they did over there that I had never seen, and I thought was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. I loved to dance, but they did square dancing, the old time square dancing, and I had never seen it, and I just tickled the very life out of me. I thought it was the funniest thing I'd look at. But before I left there, I had told everybody there to square dance, and I knew they used to come over to Maze Lick to dances the whole week.
Where would they hold dances at Maze Lick?
Pardon?
Where would the dances be in Maze Lick?
In the school building. I can remember the new school building, which is, I think, apartments now.
Yes.
And when they were paying for the teachers there, the women would have this big dinner, breakages is over this Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a good bit of it. It's amazing. That's really the way they fit. Teachers was paid for. And then after dinner, the tables would be cleared and everybody free to go to dance.
What kind of dances?
Waltz and two-step round dancing that we did there.
Now, is there a difference between the waltz, the two-step, and round dancing?
Well, that is the round
dancing. That is round dancing.
Mm-hmm.
There, I know the waltz is a beautiful dance.
Yes, I think it is. It's a very nice one. It's
sort of romantic,
smooth,
isn't it?
Smooth, yeah, romantic, yeah.
Where'd you meet your husband?
Well,
waltzing?
I had forgotten, but he said he met me in a circle at a dance at Flemingsburg. And I asked him one time, I said, where did I meet you? Because when he made his first date with me, he didn't ask for it. He just wrote me a note and he said, I'll see you Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock.
Do you know who he was?
No, I don't think I did, really.
Where did he say he'd see you Wednesday night at 7?
Pardon?
Where did he say he would see you?
Well, then I was teaching at Wedonia.
Uh-huh.
And I was boarding with a cousin of his and a cousin of his mother's. And the Bruffs and the Darlows and mother had three that lived along that Helena Road from Helena to Bay's Lake.
Okay.
And they were all cousins of hers, of Mother Whaley's. So I was boarding, I believe, at the Darlows. And Edith Davis was teaching, what they called a light graded school there.
Well, now what's that?
Well, then there were just the two rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And no school there now at all. Of course, all those have been discarded.
So it was called light graded?
Light graded, I believe that's what they called it. And Edith and I had a lot of good times together.
She wrote a history of Mays Lick at one time. Edith wrote a history of Mays Lick then at one time, didn't
she?
Yeah,
she did.
Yeah.
And I remember when her mother was a cousin of Mother Whaley's. And Carlin had five sisters. And he hadn't said anything about where we were going to live. And I said, Carlin, what do you do? I said, where are we going to live? He said, I've been wondering when you'd ask that. And he said, would you be willing to try and live with my mother and his five sisters? He said, I know it isn't the easy thing to ask. And I said, well, I'll put it this way. I'll give it a try. And so long as we live as the attitude of family prevails, okay. But whenever the attitude of in-laws creeps in, then we make a change. He said, I promise. But it never did. I'm sure I lived a much broader life by having lived with his family, because Mother Whaley was a wonderful and mild person. Just, I'll tell you a little story that happened one time when she and Carlin did say to me, he said, now there'll be no problem, I'm sure, with any of my sisters or less, it would be Mariah. And he said her disposition was a little different from the others. But he said, I'm sure with the others there'd be no problem. So one day, Mariah and her next sister, Mabel, the last, the youngest one, was having a little tilt. And Mother Whaley said, oh, children, children. And she was very gentle. And so the youngest one said, Mother, can't we even fuss in peace? But Mabel wrote a book of her childhood life.
Oh, she did.
And she said she didn't have that in it, and I've always felt, well, she omitted a few things that should have been in the book.
What was Mother Whaley's name?
Margaret.
Margaret.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I named my youngest, my oldest daughter,
for
Margaret Lewis, mm-hmm. from her mother, from his mother, to his mother, and my mother. But they were a wonderful family to get along with. It was,
what did Carlin's family do?
Pardon?
What did they do?
The girls?
No, his mother and father. What did, were they farmers?
They were farmers. They had moved to Georgetown, Kentucky, and for the girls to go in college. They wanted them to go to Georgetown College. In fact, Carlin's oldest daughter, her oldest sister, was a simply brilliant person. When she graduated from Georgetown College, she was, at that time, the first girl to ever graduate from Georgetown and go to Vassar and graduate in 1 year.
In 1 year?
In 1 year, uh-huh. Now, there may have been several since then, I don't know, but at that time, she was the first one.
What was her name?
Pardon?
What was her name?
Irene. And she was a wonderful person.
So you had Irene?
I remember Edith Davis, Irene asked Edith, because as I say, they were cousins. She said, Edith, is Lute hard to get along with? And Edith said, I've often thought Edith helped me out, I reckon, a lot. She said, Irene, if there's ever any problem, says, it'll be yours, it won't be Lute's. Well, I guess that was in my favor.
Well,
Edith and I had boarded together,
yeah.
You know, and we had being together a lot.
So there was Irene, Mariah, Mabel. What was the fourth sister's name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Was there any other boys besides Carlin? Or
no boys.
Was he spoiled?
Well, no, he certainly wasn't. I said one time that here was Mother, and here Carl was at one end of this long table, and Mother Whaley with five sisters and a wife and two daughters, and he's the only man. And Carl had a habit. He was always a very thoughtful, considerate person, but he had one habit I couldn't quite understand, and I just took him to talk about it once. I said, you know, honey, you do one thing that I simply don't understand. I said, you are usually very thoughtful, but if you want to talk, it doesn't make any difference who's talking. You just butt in and talk. He said, did it ever occur to you? If I didn't, I'd never say anything. And I guess that was true.
Had he lost his father when he was young?
Yes, he lost his father when they were, as I say, after they had moved to Georgetown, but they kept the farm. But and his father advised Mother Whaley to go back to the farm and take Carlin, because says he's just like he's in jail up here. He loved the farm. He just loved the farm.
Well, now you told me how you met. How did you all court?
We carved in a horse and buggy.
The horse and buggy?
Yeah.
Was it a slow horse?
A slow one. We saw to it that they slow. I've often thought, though, about one time he came to see me, and my brother was going to see a girl up at Levinsburg. Mm-hmm. And as they were going, he went to sleep, and my brother went to sleep, and as they passed not too far from our house, the buggy wheels locked like that, and the horses stopped. I said, now the old mower wouldn't have done that, would it?
And
I looked at home from the sound of sleep.
Oh. Let me turn this off for a minute.
The year we called it. Hell, even there's no school there at all. And when he sang one at Amy Carla called and Frank Dawn, he was a real tease. And we were sitting in the living room, the telephone rang. Somebody said it was for me, you know. And I had to talk right before the whole family. Carrie said, I'll be down in about an hour or something like that. And I said, he didn't ask whether he could wear the suit or not, he just said, I'll be down. And I thought, when I hung, I said, oh, okay. When I hung up, and I thought, heavens, how? What'll I do? I haven't been here long enough to ask these people for a fire and water. So I, for a little while, I didn't say anything. Directly, Frank said, I'll tie the dog for a quarter. And put a fire in the fire. So I knew it had gone over.
Cost your quarter, huh?
But then it's too funny. To me, Uncle Henry didn't allow him to play cards. He didn't. It wasn't really a matter of pride, and he just thought it was wrong. So it didn't matter about you about gambling or anything of that sort. He just didn't use the cards for cards. So we go down in what was they called the parlor because that. And I remember, and Uncle Henry was deaf. He was very deaf. So one night the four of us were down there playing in the parlor. It was all from the living room altogether. And I guess Uncle Henry decided to come down and visit with us a while. And the oldest daughter said, came right behind. He was deaf. And she said, Paul's coming, Paul's coming, Paul's coming, just as loud as she could holler. I'm right behind. But as quick as she got that message, while the card table was up, the cards were all out of the way, and everything by the time Uncle Henry got in.
Don't think Uncle Henry suspected. Don't think he suspected?
No, I don't think he did. Oh, no, we'd have heard from him. And he was so funny. He always nicknamed everybody. Frank Dawn was saying, I said, I'm wondering why Uncle Henry's going to call you, but he called me Bobolink.
Bobolink.
Bobolink, yes. And he called Edith Davis. He called Edith Betsy. And Betsy, I think, was for one of the older people in the family. It was so funny. I know when Frank got married, a Carlisle girl. And the day he was to be married, it was raining, messing on him. And Frank, Uncle Henry said, Frank, call this thing off. He said, you don't want to go up there on this rainy day like this.
Did you pay to board there, or did the school board pay? You had to pay it out of your salary.
Yes, it was a very, very a meager salary and a very meager board.
How much were you paid? Do you remember?
I don't remember what I paid, but I'm sure it wasn't enough to cover the expenses. Camp would fix us the nicest lunch to take with us. Little things.
Who would?
Camp, that was the daughter. Mary's daughter. Mary Kemper was her
name. Oh, I see.
And we called her Camp. Edith was a great person to be with. We enjoyed each other a lot.
That's good. So when were you married then?
We were married in 1914.
And you had two daughters?
Yeah.
Two straight-haired daughters?
Two straight-haired daughters. Well, and my sister had two curly-haired boys.
What were your straight-haired daughters' names?
Margaret Lewis and Jean. Jean Douglas.
Douglas was her middle name?
Mm-hmm.
What was the Douglas after?
Just call her Jean. And by the way, her husband's a doctor. He's was with Mayo's for several years. In fact, that's But you had me come up today, Ellis, while he was there. But anyway, they've just left. They've been here for 2 weeks. They certainly have missed them. They live here in Belleville.
Oh, German.
You've seen a lot of changes in your life, haven't you?
Yes, I really have. I've seen a lot like that at Maeslick.
What kind of changes at Maeslick?
I think I told you that it was a little village of ballrooms when I first remembered, as I think of it. And another thing, where the filling station is, coming in across from 68, there used to be a livery barn, and that's where I rode my pony or a horse, as the case might be, up to that livery barn there and walked on down to the two-room school building. And at that time, there was a plank walk, but I don't know what I can't remember that it went on down in Maeslick, but I remember it went as far as the Rolfs House. Plank walk.
Now, the Rolfs House. Oh, Mrs. Mary Parker's home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You had quite a walk from the livery stable to school then, didn't you?
It wasn't considered a walk then.
No. What did in the winter did you ride your horse?
Yeah. No automobiles then.
No.
I think so.
What else do you changes do you remember?
Plenty of them, I guess.
When you were growing up around Maeslick, were there any characters of town or somebody special that stood out in your mind?
Well, Kate, I told you about.
Yeah, yeah, Kate.
Yes, Kate. And there was a woman that lived in the house where the Palmers have now. That at that time, that house had it was a double house. It had two halls. They took out the partition between those two homes.
So it was a duplex, like, or what we call a duplex today?
Yes, that's right. But anyway, this woman was, I was thinking the other day, the story as a kid that I heard about her was, and she was funny. She's different. I don't know what it was. I think she was coherent, but there was something about her that was different. And I remember as a kid, I used to take her potatoes. It was from Alabama. I've heard that when she was going to marry, I think her husband was killed in route for the wedding, and that threw her until she just was different. And then years and years afterwards, she belonged to one of the better families in Flemingsburg, and the Andersons came for her and took her over there, and they said she was just an altogether different person. You can't imagine the difference.
What was her first name?
It seemed to me that it was that they called her Miss Elizabeth. I'm not real sure about that, but it seems to me. And I often think about her, and I don't know how coherent that is. It may be just very different that I've just heard it differently.
Something you remember, though. Was the Female Academy standing?
Pardon?
We used to have a female academy that sat...
Oh, yes, it seems to me, it was, as I remember, it was pointed out to me, it was over on the hills from the little village, on the hill to the west. But there's nothing over there now to indicate it.
No. Was the building standing, though?
No, but it did. I remember it did. It was a red big building, red brick building. Yes,
did you ever hear any stories about the Underground Railroad helping slaves to escape?
Beg pardon?
Did you ever hear any stories about an Underground Railroad in Maeslick?
No, I don't think I ever had.
By the way, did they ever find the spring that you're looking for over there?
Well, we think we have. Do you know of any springs when you were growing up?
But I guess I guess in the earlier times that was the water sources.
I would assume so.
I often think of the pioneers. My goodness, when they went through, we can complain some. If we don't have every comfort and what they didn't have.
Yeah, that's true.
Make a book.
You and your husband got married during the era of the World War I. Did your husband have to serve in World War I?
No, he didn't have to. Of course, he had a lot of people that he had to provide for.
Well, that's true. That's how long did you live with your mother-in-law then?
We never changed.
You always lived together.
And I'm sure I lived a much broader life by having done it, because they were a fine family of people.
And your girls were raised then with their grandmother and their aunts?
Yes, that's right.
Did his sisters get married then, or did his sisters get married?
Did my sister.
His sisters, Carlin's sisters.
His sisters. Marah married, and I believe Marah was the only one that didn't marry. Mabel, the youngest one. She's still living.